This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
The glory of the anointing. The glory of the anointing. The glory of the anointing. I'll be teaching this evening on the topic, the glory of the anointing. Oh, Holy Ghost. Let all the angels that would be part of this class, let them pause and listen. And let the sons of men, let them pause and listen. Take every imagination captive. Take every wandering heart. Tell them to still. Tell every flowing river to stop. For the glory of the anointing is like no other. When the glory of the anointing comes, everything stands still. The walls of buildings begin to speak. I kid you not. If you have ever seen the Lord Jesus physically, you will notice that everything around him, they are animated. They come alive. The stones, the walls, everything, the mattress, if he enters into your room, everything in your room will begin to breathe. They would come alive. It would be as if they are living beings. For Christ is the essence of life. He gives all things life. He said he's the quickening spirit, the life-giving spirit. 2 Corinthians 15:45. I'm going to show you today. You have to understand, this is not what I planned to teach. I had done a note. And I had something else I wanted to teach. But as Pastor Henry was praying, the glory of the anointing descended on me. My spirit is soaring. My spirit is flying. Father, I wish all men can be like me. Apostle Paul said, except for these chains, I wish all men can be like me, to experience that which money cannot buy, that which men will run to mountains and valleys and into caves looking for, and to experience it in the open spaces, free of charge, to be able to be a partaker of the glory of the divine nature and the glory of God, and to bear the glory upon your natural being, and to carry him into the places where it is essentially needed, where you can dispense the glory at will. So, when you look at Peter, one of the strongest followers of Christ, one of the oldest and one of the most philosophical of the followers of Christ was Peter. The reason being that Peter was older than all the other disciples. He has seen life. He has seen suffering. He has seen pain. He had a wife. He had been married. He was not like the other disciples that were young when they met Jesus. Because when Jesus began his ministry at the age of 30, just look at how we talk about the almajiri system in Nigeria, where we have all these young children who are teenagers who follow one afar. And all of them are in their teens, and they will follow one afar with plates of food in their mouth, in their hand, and they will be learning the Islamic way. Well, That picture, exactly, that was the picture of Christ, of Jesus when he was on this earth. The disciples that were with him were young. The Bible said that when they asked Jesus to pay his tax, they said they came and they asked Jesus, come and pay tax. And Jesus Christ and the disciples were sitting together. And Jesus Christ said to Peter, said, you should go and cast a hook into the river and pick up a fish and take out the gold coin from the mouth of the fish and give it to them. He said, pay for me and you. Jesus and Peter were the only two that were above the age of taxation. All the other disciples were below it. They were young. You must have a correct picture of how Peter then saw Christ. He had passed through life and all its intricacies before he met Jesus. The other disciples were young. They were young. They were in their below 21. And all of them were following Christ because, according to their tradition, a teachers rise out of Israel to teach those who cannot afford to put their children either in formal schools or under the tutelage of renowned masters. People like Nicodemus, people like Gamaliel, people like Shemuel, people like Anatot. They were mentioned in scriptures, who have been known to be good teachers, that the influential people will say, teach our children. So the Bible said Gamaliel was the one that trained Apostle Paul. You see, Apostle Paul was a student of Gamaliel. Nicodemus also had his own disciples. But Jesus was a street teacher. He didn't have any formal education under the Pharisees or the Sadducees or in any formal setting. So he was like a typical Alpha who had children following him. I want to show you something. And as Peter looked at him, looked at Jesus, Peter was wondering, how do I manage this man and my vocation and my family, juggle everything? When they met on the day that Jesus sat in his boat, and he told Peter to cast into the deep. You will notice Peter's reaction was to fall on his knees and to say, my Lord and my God, my Lord and my God, I'm a sinner. Keep away from me. Don't let me soil your glory. And Jesus Christ said, oh, come on. You will be a follower of mine. So he began to follow Christ. Peter then realized that in following Christ, he had to give up a lot. Remember when the Bible said Jesus Christ fed 5,000, and then the next day the 5,000 and other people came to make him meet him, and they wanted to make him king. And Jesus Christ said to them, "Oh no, you can't make me king." And then Jesus began to teach them the hard gospel. He began to tell them that I've come to teach that sons will turn against their fathers against their sons, and all that. And he said, "These are hard things," and they left him. And then he turned to Peter and he said, "Peter, won't you also follow them and go?" And Peter said, "Where shall we go? You have the word of life." So Peter knew. He knew Jesus in the flesh. He knew the limitation of this man. He knew. He knew the. He knew. He had seen Jesus finish, as we say in our time. He knew the length and breadth of Christ in the flesh. So he was determined that he was going to show Peter another dimension one day. Peter had seen Jesus heal the sick. Peter has seen Jesus raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. Peter has seen Jesus do a lot of awesome miracles, right? And then Jesus Christ said to Peter, come with me, you, James, and John. And the Bible said they went up a mountain. And when they got on top of that mountain, Akapai, Hezibida, Araminade, Ega, Adidia, Masusia, that Jesus stood. When they were with him, they were talking generally, just talking. And suddenly Jesus stood up, set forth his hands, and Jesus began to speak. He began to speak in another language. He wasn't speaking in Hebrew. He wasn't speaking in Greek. He began to speak in tongues. Jesus was speaking in tongues. I'll tell you why you would know he spoke in tongues. And as Jesus spoke in tongues, the Bible says that suddenly out of Jesus came out a light. You will notice what Peter would then say. Peter said, of things that we saw, things that we heard, things we cannot speak of, that our hands handles the very things of eternal life. He was saying that there are still codes that Jesus Christ released, that my understanding cannot carry it. My initiative was down by it. My ability to process reality was dumbfounded, was ringing bells of alarm. So how do you say that some of you are standing on a mountain and suddenly the whole of the heavens went dark? Bam. And then the entire mountain was covered with light. This light came from within Christ. And of this light came Moses, yay, and Elijah. The glory of the anointing. Many of us pray in tongues. Many of us pray in tongues. You know, I think the months when we pray in tongues, I think it is a time when I listen to everybody's tongues. That's the truth. I'm a teacher. And because I'm a teacher, I'm always curious to see the growth of those that have taught over the years the gospel. And when I know their growth the best is when they are praying. You will see those who are fearful. When they are praying, you will notice the scriptures that they would bring out. You will see that their scriptures, you will know those who are demon conscious. You will see the scriptures that they would align with when they are praying. 1 hour prayer is long. So when you are praying for 1 hour, you cannot hide from anybody. Either you are praying in tongues alone, or you are praying in tongues and you are bringing out words of affirmation. It is easy for me to know where you are in your space, in your walk with God. As I listen, I will know, oh, this person is troubled. I will know somebody that is praying in tongues that is sick. I will know. I will hear it. I'll say, this person is not feeling fine. I will know by the spirit. I will discern it. But when I sit down and listen to the tongues as we change pattern to pattern, not only am I listening, I'm praying along, I'm also paying spiritual attention to the voices that I'm hearing and what they are evoking. What are they bringing forth? What are you blessing? And in all that we pray, every time we pray, there is a consistent power that comes out of everyone who prays in the spirit. There is a, but many of us, we should pay attention. Ah, we should pay attention. We should pay attention. You should not put your attention on the sound of the tongues. It is not on the phonemics or the phonemes. It is not on the vocabulary. It is not on the words. There is a spirit behind your tongue. Really? There is an anointing behind your tongue. There is a coming forth, a batting forth, a power to deliver, a power to show forth that is beyond it. Not only can you, speaking in tongues, see a vision, when you speak in tongues, others can hear your tongues, and your tongues will provoke them into seeing vision. Your tongue in the background will lead them. You say, and as you are speaking in tongues, somebody that is discerning, your tongue will lead the person in the corridors of the spirit into places, into mysteries. For the Bible said that when Elijah came out and Moses came out, the disciples fell on their faces. They couldn't stand up to ask, what are they discussing? None of them had the effrontery to approach that great light and say, let me take a selfie. Uncle Moses, stand where? Uncle Elijah stand there. Jesus stand there. Oh, yeah, let me take a selfie. Yeah. They couldn't take a selfie, for the glory of the anointing is such that even though they were on their knees, first bow, they could still see. Let me say that again. They were looking at Jesus physically. Suddenly, there was a great light. Suddenly, they saw Moses and Elijah. Then immediately fear came upon them. They bowed their face to the ground. But even as their faces were on the ground, they were still seeing. They were still seeing. For the anointing defies logic. It brings to the unknown, to the non-initiate, the secret of the initiate. It brings you into the corridors of knowledge so that you can say boldly that I know. Because you pray in the spirit, you comfort, you bat forth. When you comfort ministering spirits that will walk with you in the ministration that you are doing at that time. As you bat forth spirits that will watch over the words you are speaking, that they may perform them. A man or woman who is praying in the spirit is not just making empty words. We are not beating the air. Oh, yeah. Peter will later write in the book of, I believe it's First Peter. First Peter chapter 1 verse 11. He said that it was predicted that Jesus would die, but that after his death, he said, the suffering of the Messiah in the glories to follow. You see, Jesus has suffered that glory may follow. If anybody is anointed, your anointed is an anointed that is battered in glory. Your anointing is not an anointing of suffering. When I see Christians who suffer and they say, oh, we are suffering for the sake of Christ, I say, okay, I understand persecution. But you see, the promise of the scripture was that the Messiah will suffer, and that after the suffering, the only thing that will follow is glory. How then do you know this glory? It is the glory of the anointing. It is the glory of the anointing. Now, when I say glory of the anointing, don't assume I'm talking about some men of God that say, ah, that man is anointed. Let me go and be begging him to pray for me. No. I'm talking about the glory of the anointing in your life. You, that you are listening to me, there is a promise from Jesus that your anointing, the anointing that you evoke, that you bat forth, it is stand. Clothed in glory. So that when you are speaking in tongues, you are mindful of what you are doing. A lot of us speak in tongues empty, with our minds wandering. We just are that kepe. Yeah. We do that. Ah, we believe we are praying. What? Ah. We forget something very critical, that if we are not quickened, then we are not anointed. The anointing quickens. What that means is that it says, awake, you that sleepeth. The anointing wakes us up, not only physically, so that you can wake up, wakes up our genes, ourselves. It is why in the presence of the anointing, the sick get healed. It is because the cells of the body, they begin to tingle. The hair at the back of your neck, they will stand. Goose pimples will cover you in your arms, in your legs. Sometimes you feel some chills, some shivers. You feel some shaking. It will be as if your legs have turned to jelly. You cannot stand. The anointing is coming and it is bursting. And suddenly you will notice there is a shift. I was shouting when Pastor Henry was praying. I was, because The reason I was screaming, even though I was not admitted, the anointing was so strong. I was screaming. I was screaming. I was screaming. I was saying, why shall you be sick? I was saying it over and over again. If you're on this call right now and you are sick, that is a glory of the anointing in the house. Hey, hey. Hey, Limina Abelia Dosh David Dingado Basidis. There is a glory of the anointing that testifies that what you are doing is not rubbish. It testifies that what you are doing is not rubbish, that it is real. It convinces you. It convinces other people. That is the glory of the anointing. Let me share something that happened some years back with you. I was living in a house in Kitu one time, years ago. I'm 2012, 2013. And there was this Muslim cleric. There was a shop just underneath my flat. And people would come to him. They call him Afa. People would come to him for consultation. He was a tailor, but he still did consultation by the side. Said he's a Fulani Yoruba, Fulani mixture, that it came from Kwara or Ilori or somewhere. He was there. And I was on top of the house. I was a young minister of the gospel, and he was an Afa, and both of us were living in the same. I was saying my house was on top, his shop was directly under my flat. And once in a while, we would greet each other. He would greet me, I would greet him. And one day he had, he had some confidence. So he called me and he said, I want to have a word with you. So I'm not a people person like that. So I just greet you, and if I can, I will just greet you and walk away. But he wanted a conversation. So he asked, can I have a word with you? So I said, oh, okay. What's going on? Then he said, somebody was sick. Person had tummy ache. That they brought the person to him. That he did some writings, some Arabic writings on his slate. He washed it into a cup. He gave the person to drink, and the sickness disappeared. Then he asked me, have you ever done anything like that? This man felt so proud of himself that he wanted to share with me, a young minister of the gospel, that he did a miracle. He wanted me to know that he did a miracle. And then the miracle worked. So he came and said, have you done anything like that before? And I said, wow. I said, Afa. He said, what? I said, I will not give anybody water. If you give me anyone that is sick right now, in your presence right here, I will heal the person in your presence, not later. I will just do, and I will do it. I said, I will do it. I will not mention the name of Jesus. I will do it in silence. I'll be quiet and I'll just lay my hand. But that was what the Bible said. The Bible said, these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will lay their hand on the sick and the sick shall recover. He didn't say you will lay your hand and speak in tongues or you'll be shouting, Jesus, Jesus. No, just lay your hand. That's what the Bible says. So I do that. I said, I'll just lay my hand. Person will recover. He said, it's a lie. I said, okay, find me someone that is sick. And then he called somebody. A pregnant woman, 8 months gone. I said, this man has been going to the hospital back and forth for shortage of blood. So I was just living opposite the house. And I've never spoken. I didn't even know she lives there because I mind my business a lot. I didn't even know the woman. I don't know her name. But her house is just like opposite my house. So he went to call the woman. He said, Pastor said, if we pray for you, you will no longer suffer from this anemia. And I want him to pray for you. Is it not every day you go and collect, but every 2 days or every 3 days? He said he will pray for you and it will stop. The lady said, Pastor, I believe. So I held her hand and I was talking to the Afa. We were just talking. 1 minute. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Then I told the lady, all right, I'll find out. And the man is gone. And the father said, shook his head and said, Tolombale He said it to your language. Tolombale bafuin ti intershe, Tolombale bafuin, Tobafile you. I kept quiet. He said, if God would allow what I did to come to light, to come to pass, that it would broadcast it to the whole world. I forgot about it and went about my life. The woman delivered her baby a month later, carried the baby, came to my house to share the testimony that from that day, no more shortage of blood, she delivered on time and all that. Then the father then looked at me and said, you know, I told you that I'm going to tell the whole world. I will not tell the world. I will tell my teacher. So he has a teacher. And so he went to tell his teacher. That one is a bigger affair. And then the following Sunday, I was coming from church. The two of them were waiting. As I was coming from church, I was in suit, one Bible in the hand. I just said, ah, pastor, 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 please come. It was the junior affair that called me. And then he said, ah, this is my senior. Is the one that in Lagos here, all of us that are young affairs go to is our teacher. I told him about the miracle you did, and he said that he would like to meet you. And that man came prepared. Now, I wasn't prepared for what the man brought because the anointing, it's just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, people will come with logic and question, and they were looking to confuse you. So that man came with the intention to use arguments, verbal words to confuse me, to bring me into his own frame of mind, and then to overwhelm me with all the nonsense that he had memorized from all the books he had read about how to tackle Christians. But I was just coming from church. I was not prepared for that. And then the man said, do you know that? La la is hallelujah. That was the big affair. I've never heard it before. He said, do you know that la la that we say in Islam? Do you know that is hallelujah? I said, yeah. He said, yes. He said, you people borrowed Arabic culture. You now converted it because of Rome. La la is hallelujah. I said, yeah. He said, do you know that the Bible said Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ said Muhammad will come? I said, where? He said, the comforter. The comforter will come. It is Muhammad that is the comforter. I said, ah, hey. I said, I said, no, let me finish. I want you to know. Do you know that Jesus Christ did Aluwala? He did ablution. I said, he said, yes. That he washed his leg. I said, hey, they are living in the desert. He said, no. He bowed his head. He prayed the Muslim way. So really, this man was bombarding me with all sorts of nonsense, nonsense. So I said in my spirit, ha, hey, from my spirit to my soul, until my miracles, I said in my spirit, I said, Lord, I'd like you to shut this man down. I'm hungry. I want to go to my house. I want to go to my flat and eat. And this man is elderly and he's talking. And I'm tired. I don't want to be rude. I just want to win soul. But this man, he's doing all the talking. I said, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. Let me convince him that the glory of the anointing is real and that his arguments are nothing. And then I looked at him and I said, Afa, Afa, Afa. And he said, I said, wait, if I tell you something right now, if you allow me to speak, if I tell you something right now, will you promise me that if it is true, that you would serve my God, that you will worship my God, that you will tell the whole world, just like the junior affair came to you, you will tell the whole world about my God? He said, ah, oh yeah, now, if you can. I said, you have a daughter at home that was hit by a motorcycle. a few weeks ago. He said, yes. Everybody, even Afa knows. He was talking about the junior Afa. He said he knows. So he could have mentioned it to you. So that's not news. I said, you have taken this child from hospital to hospital and they told you that the legs are broken beyond repair. And now you are planning to take him to traditional people to do it. He said, yes, now it's already with the person that to do it. They will kill a chicken, they will use the leg of the chicken to do the leg. But that's still on news. You could have heard it from anywhere because I'm a popular fan. Everybody knew what happened to my daughter. I said, what did I tell you right this minute as I stand before you that my spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon me has gone forth to your house and healed that girl right this minute? I said, what will you say? He said, that would be a lie. Said, well, lie, a lie. That would be a lie. I said, I'll wait for you. I will stand here. You go and you go and bring her. Said, you will. I said, I will stand there. And he sat down your motorcycle, jumped on it, rode it to his house. 30 minutes later, came back with that girl. That is daughter. Daughter was walking perfectly fine. Yeah, this big affair was on his knees. So I was Jesus. Oh, daughter, need Jesus. Ah, Papa, hi. Hey, Digiba, no, Taparadiana. Hey, are you still sick? You are not sick. You are not sick anymore. Check your body. Ah, the minister before me was ministering. He was speaking so strong tongues. I said he was speaking so quickly. I said he had to get out all the words at once. And he was saying that I am changing, removing, making them whole. I am changing, I am removing, I am making them whole. I know for sure. This evening service, the glory of the anointing has spoken. Hey, there is healing breaking out. There is no sickness here. There is no sickness. He said, oh, Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. Jesus, yeah. I said, sir, don't, you can be saying Jesus here without accepting Christ. Our deal was that we worship my God. So, should I tell you how you worship him? He said, how? I said, say, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. He said it in front of the junior Alpha. He gave his life to Christ in public, in front of the junior Alpha shop. That is the glory of the anointing. So the glory of the anointing showcases a Christian. The suffering of the cross does not showcase a Christian. The suffering of the cross showcases Christ. But the glory of the anointing showcases believers. It is for the glory that we are made. We were made to show forth the glory of God. Hey, that so I said the whole of creation is groaning. He didn't say they are groaning to suffer. No, he said they are groaning. They are groaning to see the manifestation. What manifests the glory? Hey, the glory of the anointing. The glory of the anointing. Hayakara the glory of the Almighty. It is this glory that will go forth and look in chapter 9 at the man they call Saul. So people are like, oh no, Saul is this name. And then later, it is Paul that is another. All those kind of arguments are inconsequential. You have to know that Apostle Paul was not called by Jesus. He was not called by Jesus. He was called by Christ. There is a big difference between Jesus and Christ. You see, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, yeah. Christ was the enthroned one. The one that has been lifted, that has sat on the throne, that was wearing the crown. You will see that when he would descend upon Apostle Paul in his nature as Christ, he descended in glory. He appeared to Paul, to Peter in the flesh. He appeared to the other disciples in the flesh. Genuine Master Emmanuel has been with us, talking with them, eating with them, playing with them. Ah, Katipia, hey, doing stuff with them, laughing, playing, arguing, teaching. They knew Emmanuel, God with them. Yeah. But when he would appear to Paul, he did not appear as Emmanuel. He appeared as Lord. You know what it means to be Lord? What, how do you know who a Lord is? You know by the glory the Lord exudes. When you go to a place and you see somebody that is a Lord, you will see the dressing, you will see the aura, you will see the careful reverence that people give him. You will look at this, say, ah, this man, even though you don't know the person from anywhere, you see this man is important. People say, how do you know? You see, that's the way he carries himself. The way people are talking to him, this is not an ordinary guy. This is not an ordinary guy. This is not an ordinary guy. For the glory speaks with, he speaks loud in silence. Hey, Jesus. Wherever you are now, if you can, if you are in a place where you can, talk, hey, if you are in a place where you can shout, just one time where you are, I'd like you to shout, glory! So there is glory in this house. So forgive me, it's making me feel drunk, but it's fine. At the same time, it is the total ability of the Spirit to focus God in a way that every eye will know, every hair will tingle, and everyone will know that something has happened that no man can explain. Something has happened. That is the glory. When the glory comes, there'll be no word to say. Everybody begins to shiver. People begin to shake. You cannot explain the glory. You can't describe it. When the people that are with Paul will talk, they said they heard the sound. In another book, they said they saw a light. When Apostle Paul wanted to write about the glory, Apostle Paul said, I saw a light. In another place, he said, I heard the sound and then I saw a light. Because the glory is difficult to explain in human words. It is a sound. It is a light. It is a cloud. It is the sound of flowing waters. It is temperature. It is hot. It is cold. You step into the glory sometimes, your body begins to jerk. You step into the glory sometimes, you begin to feel warm. You begin to look, why am I suddenly warm from inside? You step into the glory sometimes, and you feel as if you are flying. You step into the glory sometimes, and you will fall. It will carry you like this. You will think you are big, you are strong, that you have stamina. The glory will touch you, and you find yourself. You find yourself floating in the air as if you are flying carpet. You'll be floating in the air like this, and then you will land on the floor. Ah, the glory is indescribable. But when the glory came for Apostle Paul said, who are you, Lord? The glory called Apostle Paul. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul said, who are you, Lord? He knew in his being, his whole body was crying, the glory is here. To experience the glory of God, you can only experience that glory after the coming of Christ. There is none that experienced it before Jesus came. That was why Jesus Christ said, all those who came from the time of John the Baptist till now, he said, the kingdom of heaven will survive violence. But going forward, The kingdom of heaven suffers glory, manifests glory, because I have come. And I have come that they may have life. He has come that I may be the epitome. I may be the carrier. I may be the harbinger. I may be the dispenser of eternal verities and glory. He came that I may become the glory of the Almighty. There are Christians that, even though their faith, they believe, they know the Lord. They do not put the glory of the anointing to work. Let me teach you something. Now, I have a habit. I don't like people mimicking me or copying me. But I like people to know. I like people to know the truth. But I want them to know it by the Spirit, inside of their spirit. That is the best way to know things. Because when you copy a man, you if you don't have what he has inside, and you copy him on the outside, maybe you have his results one or two times, but at the end of the day, because there's no substance within. But I like to explain to people how these things work. I was at New Heritage Baptist Church to minister one time. I ministered, I think, three sessions. When we got back to our hotel room, I was so tired. Ah, my bones were aching. I just wanted to get on the bed. But I finished my session around 9:30. And I had an online session. I had to teach PSSBC at 10 p.m. that same day. And we were young then. I do not have any substitute teacher. I was the only one teaching the classes. I think that would be class one or class two, school one or school two. So I sat and I was saying to my brother, he was with me. I said, David, I'm so tired. My head is aching. My bones are aching. I'm so tired. And he said, oh, sorry. I see people that want to see you. Many of them are in the hotel corridor. They've come to see you. Please, you have to create time to see them. They've been waiting. I said, And as I sat in that chair, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, why are you saying you are tired? Why are you saying you are... your bones are aching. I said, Lord, it is true. My bones are aching. I'm tired. He said, but I am here. Why don't you take off my glory? Why don't you partake? Why don't you take off my glory? It means, he didn't say I should carry the glory and be doing like chicken and be strutting. No, he said I should like eat it. Why don't you partake? Why don't you swallow? Why don't you inhale? Why don't you allow my glory to come inside you? But believe me, what I'm teaching, please listen. What I'm teaching will not make sense to some people, because here I just finished ministrations in a church. I was laying hands on the sick. I ministered to a lot of people. So the glory, the anointing was, I know I'm anointed. However, I had not learned how to put the anointing to use inside of my own body. The anointing could flow from inside of me outward. But I have not learned how to turn the lens of the anointing. To turn that lens inward so that anointing can minister to me. I've not learned that at the time. I don't learn it. So when he said, why don't you partake of the anointing? Why don't you take the anointing? Why don't you allow this anointing to work on you? I became confused. I sat down there. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're asking me to do. Am I supposed to lick my finger? Am I supposed to lay hands on myself? Or what are you saying? He said, the same way you breathe out the anointing, can you breathe it in? Can you bring the anointing into your own system? And I remember that day, I sat down quietly, my hands folded, and I took just breathing. Then people say that they sleep 5 minutes sleep. I've heard it before that people will say, I can sleep for 5 minutes and I'll be fine. So people have that grace. I don't know how to sleep for 2 minutes, 4 minutes. When I want to sleep, I sleep. But that day, as I'm breathing, I think I did that around 9:40 p.m. and I had class in 20 minutes. And I had some people that wanted to see me, they were waiting. So I sat down and I breathed in 3 times. And my whole body, the entire system that I call me, it was as if it just shut down. And then it rebooted. I think nobody did. When you have a computer and you did restart, it was as if I first restart. So I shut down and then I rebooted. In 5 minutes, it was as if I cannot explain the surge of power and energy. All issues pertaining to illness, to sickness, to pain was. And I called those who are waiting. And I said, let them come, because I cannot keep them. Because once I start teaching my class, I'll finish my class by 11. And then that means they have to wait till 11 before I minister to them, which to me was not fair. So I said, bring all the people waiting for me, all of them at once. So all of them came. And as they came, I just lift up your hands, lay hands on them one by one, one by one. Prayed for them. All of them left healed. And as they were healed and as they went away, I opened Zoom and I began to teach my class. And it was such a wonderful day. And I learned that that glory of the anointing, which we display for the world to see as believers, we can also partake of it for our own healing, for the renewal of our own body. A few months later, I had an injury. And it was just one. I was going to my car after a program, and they didn't park the car well, and I just had this injury. And I was looking at the wound. I was saying, why would I have a wound on my body? Why would I have a wound on my body? And somebody said, oh, use this thing and it will go. And the person said, use it. And then I didn't listen to the instructions. I wasn't supposed to touch it with water. So I put that thing on it. It was getting dry. Then water touched it, and then the thing broke out again. And I was like, no, administrations, I can't be. When I ministered, my trousers will be soaked. Around that place, the wound would allow the trousers to glue to my skin, and it was terrible. And I remembered what the Lord told me when I was ministering at Trinity Church. Allow the anointing. Allow the glory of the anointing. Allow my glory to partake of my glory. Just like you are partaking of communion. Partake of it. Now it. So I said, wow. And then close my eyes. I began to pray in the spirit all by myself. Prayed in the spirit until I felt the bubbling of the spirit inside my tummy. Until I felt that vibe that you can see that this is not like shakataka. This is you have entered into the deep. And then I breathed upon that one. One time. Dry. And I forgot about it. The next morning it was dry. The way it was how it got dry. Do you know many people that have come to me with injury? This is with video and picture evidence that they will say the injury did not get well 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Oh, the leg is has been like that. They have this sore that will not be healed. That was how I learned how to heal it. I'll just sit with them, they'll be talking. I'll say, okay, bring the leg out. Then I'll look at the leg. Then I'll stare the anointing. When I stare the anointing, stare the anointing, I don't shapa, rakadesh, igede. Once I stare the anointing and I can feel the temperature of the anointing, that my own skin has begun to burn. My innards have begun to want to run. That there is flight in my body. or just build on it. Need to dry. I've seen one that dried in 30 minutes with picture and video evidence. I've seen one that dried in an hour. It will just go. It will be as if demon every it will just disappear. For the glory of the anointing is present to announce the hell of salvation. The glory of the anointing is present. Its duty is to announce you. So the Bible said they took disciples and they beat them. And they said, who healed that man? You see the glory. Who healed the man by the beautiful gate? Were you the one that healed that man in this name that we are forbidding you from mentioning? What's happening? The glory was announcing that the name that's above every other name, that name is announcing the glory of those who bear it. For in the Old Testament, they carried the Ark of Covenant on their shoulder. But in this new dispensation, I carry Christ. Hey, he is in my spirit. He is in my body. I am a member of his body, his flesh, and his bones. The glory of the anointing is speaking in my life, speaking in my bones, speaking in my destiny. Where is this glory speaking? Where is it speaking in your life? Where? Mention it, mention it, mention it. The glory has come to announce me. To announce that I belong to the Lord, to announce that nobody can rewrite my history, nobody can curse me, nobody can turn me away from the path that God has laid me, nobody can distract me from my set goal. The glory of the anointing is putting a padlock in the mouth of all my detractors and shutting them down. The glory of the anointing is taking me from a disciple to an apostle. He's taking me from a fisher of men from a fisherman to a fisher of men to the head of the church. The glory of the anointing elevates. The glory of the anointing elevates. The glory of the anointing promotes. The glory of the anointing pushes you. Hey, beyond your wildest dream. You find yourself scaling heights. You see the anointing. You feel the anointing. You walk in it. The glory of the anointing is a powerful glory. Not only does it take you into the place of the spirit where you see visions, where you hear the word of God clearly, not only does it make you heal the sick and raise the dead, the glory of the anointing heals your body. The glory of the anointing teaches you what to do with your finances. The glory of the anointing exists that you may be the signboard, the epistle that the world is reading. They will say, that is Barabenga. Do you know JSW? You know, that's the guy that healed my father. That's the guy that did it. Ah, that man, that was the day I was sitting there, and one guy came and said, who is he? He does not know me. Doesn't mean, but it was the one that did it. That did it. They will say, what? Then they talk to me. Are you a pastor? A lot of them were white. Are you a pastor? I said, oh, I'm a brother. I'm a Christian brother. I said, yeah. Pray with us. Pray with us. I'm not kidding. And these are guys from the U.S. military, the naval guys, naval divers. I just said, oh, pray with us. Pray with us. Somebody cannot come and testify of you like this, and you will not pray with us because the glory will speak. The glory speaks. When the glory is speaking, its primary duty is to display Christ. But not only will he display Christ, he will also display the one carrying Christ. And that glory is upon you. The anointing of the Lord breaks the yoke of bondage. That anointing is upon you. That anointing is upon you. That anointing that is turning deserts into rivers. That anointing is upon you. It is speaking. It is speaking glorious things concerning you. That anointing is healing. It's turning situations around for you. That anointing is the anointing that have been released this evening for you to begin to experience supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles in your walk with God, that you might heal yourself, that you might heal others, that you might lift yourself, that I declare that you are blessed. I declare that the anointing of the Lord is speaking over your life, speaking over your businesses, Speaking, great and mighty things. I declare that you are prevailing. You are prevailing in everything that the Lord has set your sight upon to achieve. I declare it. That before now, it seemed as if, oh, you are slow. Yeah, it's been slow. Things are not moving. But now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare speed. I declare that the glory of the anointing makes you outrun chariots. You might be the last to start, but I declare that you will finish the best and you finish the quickest. That the hand of the Lord will be upon you, perpetually guiding you into fulfilling all that the Lord has promised from now and from the beginning. Thank you, Father. Ke paro kasategedis. Ramenia de gadabaruta shafta tibidigano shasataya. Hey, Kasutia, I declare flight for everyone. It doesn't matter whether I give enough or not. My spirit is flying. And I know that the Lord is saying that, hey, my church is about to embark. We are about to take flight. So therefore, I declare flight. Take off from where you are. Fly from coast to coast. Conquer. From village to village. Conquer. From company to company. From mountain to mountain. Conquer. From sector to sector, conquer. In everything that the Lord has set is your hands upon to do, conquer, win, dominate, have dominion, have dominion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Nekopiana, egedebe riadosha, let the news that they told you, let it be nothing. Let the news God gave you, let it be something. Let that news fly upon the wings of glory. Fly far above, conquer all and win and reign and dominate in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout glory.
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 We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.